Love Talk Radio.
Husband or wife to act like they don't know you, except when they want you.
that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't really be a relationship. It would be kind of one-dimensional. You always giving and the other person always taking. Well, God feels the same way about us. He wants us to give 110%. Stop worrying about the 10%. Give 110%, making sure that we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Because what did he give us? He gave us eternal life when he died on the cross. He died for your sin and my sin, that we would no longer have to be under the condemnation of sin and his wrath, because he loved us so much. And he requires obedience, that if you love me, you'll obey me and keep my commandments. Plain and simple. Hey, 646-668-8468 is the calling number, 646-668-8468. Also, we're live on Facebook Live stream. Go to Daryl Kendrick and add me if I'm not on your friend list. Add me to be your friend on Facebook live stream, and that way you'll be able to follow along. And we've been putting up some YouTube videos. We've been putting these on YouTube. So, hey, I need you guys to, hey, if I got somebody else out there that know how to do some YouTube videos, maybe you can walk me through it. I got a brother in New York that helps me out, but I'm truly, really want to try to do it myself so I could be able to get something done. So, hey, if somebody can help with them, please reach out to me. You can hit me at dkendricksr65, or dkendricksr@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, Daryl Kendrick. Hey. All right, we're going to be talking. We're in lesson number 4 of our series that we've been going through, series about adultery, fornication, the great deception in the local church. And this one is, we're dealing with part 2 or lesson 2 of perversion, sexual perversion. The great, it's a spirit of whoredom in our churches. And friends, we need to acknowledge that these things happen in the local church. Unfortunately, this was never God's idea. He allows things to happen. Again, Father, He tells us not to do certain things, or He gives us commandments and laws to rightly guide us away from those things that are displeasing to Him, but yet many people in the body of Christ continue to violate and take His grace for granted. And I hear so much perversion going down the pipe where, you know, it's sexual immorality is normal and it's allowed, from the homosexuality to all the way to the quote-unquote marriage couple. Now you can be, you know, you can be a swinger and be saved. You know, you can be a saved, swinging Christian couple. It's okay as long as God gives grace and everybody's okay. Well, I'm sorry, friends. Well, I'm not sorry, but that's not going to fly. You won't get the glory with that. I don't think you're going to, you know, be able to sin your way into the kingdom of God or pervert your way into the kingdom of God because you and your spouse decided that it's okay. I give him and her permission to basically, you know, sleep around and do whatever they want to do and have this open relationship and claim to be, quote-unquote, God-fearing Christian. I'm sorry. That's a lie from the pit of hell, and again, that's perversion. Hebrews 13:4 tells us that the marriage bed is undefiled. The marriage bed is undefiled, but adulterers and fornication, God will judge. And we're going to pick up prayer, but we're going to pick up where we left off on this last lesson. We talked about how Hosea, the prophet Hosea, was told to marry this prostitute, a woman of whoredom, who basically took her position or took the position of a whore or a harlot. And God was showing, just as Gomer, who was a wife, how she basically prostitute herself out and committed adultery, Israel was doing the very same thing. And guess what, friends? If there's nothing new under the sun, the church is not far behind what Israel was doing. They were doing it with idolatry a lot of times, but that idolatry was also sexual perversion, sexual immorality. You know, abortion was going on, or they were basically sacrificing their children to these pagan gods, Molech and Baal, Balaam, all these different pagan gods. Nothing new under the sun. We just want to name it a different thing. We don't necessarily call it, when we go out and murder babies in abortion clinics, we don't call it, well, I'm sacrificing my child to a god. We don't say that. We just say, hey, I don't want no responsibility, So if I don't want any responsibility, therefore I'm not going to have this baby. I'll just get rid of it. I'll be irresponsible and lay up and play up and sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. And yet God is okay with it because it's not a human, because guess who told us that? Man told us that. Man told us that. It wasn't a human, so guess what we do? We bought into the lie. Do you know back in the 1800s when slavery was going on, this is the same thing that they told Africans that were taken on ships. They weren't humans either. So I guess we just exterminate all of us, right? Everybody that wasn't white back then was considered non-human. And I'm not making this a race issue, but it's amazing how the black race has bought into the proverbial lies and, the, like I said, perversion, manipulation, twisting, because we have bought into wickedness. And it goes to show you, life without Christ, friends, life without Christ. As a man thinketh, so is he or she. As a man thinketh, so is he or she. Hey, let's have a moment of prayer and invite the Lord in for this segment of our podcast. I want to welcome everybody that might be listening in, and those who might be, again, if you're being blessed by this radio ministry, share it with other people. Send it out, copy and paste the link, and send it over to your friends. Maybe you know some people that's caught up in sexual immorality and claiming to be Christians, and they seem to be okay with it. Maybe it's from homosexuality, incest, bestiality, whatever is going on, friends. The answer is Jesus. Because without Jesus, friends, we all die and we're dead in our sin. If God didn't save us and deliver us from something, then what is it that when people continue to live apart from God, yet they say that God is okay with them? Nobody seems to want to be delivered no more. Everybody wants to just do what they want to do. And this is no different than the days of Noah when everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. Nothing new under the sun. And guess what, friend? The ark is passing by. The ark is passing by. The ark is Jesus, and he's passing by. And people are still dying and going to hell, waiting for that final day of judgment. Get our house in order and quick, fast, and a hurry, friend, because he's coming back. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to bring forth the word. We ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you speak to our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would resurrect us, Lord God, that we would have a sincere desire to turn from our sin and turn from our wickedness and our perversion and turn to the true and living God, that we may do it quickly, Lord, before the final countdown, before judgment, before Babylon rises up in America. We are so close, Lord. And every nation that has surrendered to the sins of the flesh, the world, and the devil, every nation, every empire that has neglected, has had to face the consequences of rebellion, which is the sin of witchcraft. Lord, help us, Lord, because we know better. We know better. And it's time for us to act like we know you. There are thousands and thousands of churches in America, and yet the laborers are few. The harvest is right, but the laborers are so few because people are really not truly. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord God, may I decrease, may you increase, and may the Spirit of God have its way right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. Call in number, or you can listen to the podcast player on Facebook. Again, friends, this is real. It's real in the sense that, you know, as I look at the news and I look at what's going on, friends, I don't get discouraged anymore. I get happy. I get happy when I see the world doing exactly what the Bible says it's going to do. I get excited when I see what's happening when people come to saving faith and their lives are changed and transformed and made new. I get excited when I see, you know, sinners being resurrected. And I get excited also when God's judgment, righteous judgment, comes upon people or nation, because God is just in everything that he does. Can't hold them accountable for sin. there's consequences. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And friends, if we think that we can do anything we want to do and get away with it, better read Romans 2 when the Bible says God will, he just stacks up wrath against wrath for the day of judgment, that all of us are going to have to stand and give an account. Every one of us, including yours truly right now. Nobody gets away with nothing. So play church all you want to. I'd rather go to hell first class than to play church and deceive myself. On the real. I'd rather go to hell first class. I might as well just get back out there in that world and just live it up than to deceive myself by playing, you know. Because you lose either way. But the deception is that you lose with this ideology or this mindset that you're okay. That's deception. And that's not of God. In our last lesson, we left off talking about the pit of Hosea and how God felt about her immorality. And we looked from there into Romans, and we saw that, well, we left off on a very meaty topic, and I said I was going to get back to it. I was going to break it down and give some definitions. I'm going to do that. But I want us to kind of do a recap. We talked about when somebody walks away from their commitment to God, it becomes easy to walk away from other important commitments in life. So if you're not committed to God, then be committed to your mate, your spouse, or, you know, you won't be faithful to them either. You can't be faithful to God, the creator of all things. If you're not going to be 100% real with him, then you definitely won't be faithful to anybody else. Your children, other father, sister, brother, not without a motive. You might do some things for people, but what's your motive? What are you looking for? Some people do things for their family because they, maybe, you know, there's an inheritance that they're going to get at the end. So, hey, I want to stick close to mom and dad because, hey, they got the money. When they pass off, I'll get something from them. Got people like that. You know, it's always a motive for unregenerate people. Doing it not because they're doing it as unto the Lord. They don't know the Lord. Religious people don't know the Lord. People that's in a covenant relationship, they know the Lord, and they understand. They do everything as unto the Lord. They're striving to do, self work out their salvation, and they're practicing selfless behavior. Remember, we talked about the book of Hosea, which marks, of course, one taken in the spirit of whoredom and a downward spiral. Whoredom and a downward spiral. And you know what, friends? Let's look at, remember, I've seen many, many times about how wretched our world is, that we can pimp out people. $150 billion industry, the porn industry. It's not that way because people don't like porn. It's because they love it. They love debauchery. They love sensuality. They love lasciviousness. They love anything that basically promotes and stimulates the flesh. They love it. We see that the book of Hosea, of course, is taking the spirit of whoredom downward. Hosea 5:4, the person taken in the spirit doesn't know God. Hosea 4:2 through 3, he or she violates his laws. Hosea 4:6, destruction comes upon him or her. Hosea 4:7, prosperity becomes a means to evil instead of the blessing. In other words, she was using her body to get paid for sexual favors. Again, this is what we look. Do you know, do you realize some pastors will tell you to use whatever you got to go get money so you can tie to the church? Yikes. And I mean, whatever. You know, you got pastors that don't, they know they got girls in the porn industry. They know they got young women, not only in the porn industry, but in strip clubs. They know this. You know, I remember looking at an interview of some ladies who were in the porn industry, African-American women. One of the sisters had come out of, she got saved, the Lord woke her up, and she was telling the story about this ugly, ugly lifestyle and how wretched it is and how these men don't care nothing about them. Oh, they act like they care about them in front because they use women to basically be able to do whatever they want to do with them. exploit them and wreck their bodies. They don't tell you the downside of that. Most women who come out of the porn industry have some horror stories. It's never nothing glamorous. Even with all the money they made, some of them had to have hysterectomies. Some women have had to have all kinds of things. The inside's been all jacked up. And you don't, I mean, the more wretched you want to become, the more money they'll give you. But at what price? Eventually, they don't care nothing about you. But this young woman told the story about, you know, she knew some of the top porn stars, but she said they, you know, they went to strip clubs and all this stuff. And she said on Sunday she would go to church, a well-known pastor's church here in Los Angeles at that. And she would take her girls there. Same girls that they made movies together, same girls that went to the strip clubs together, same girls that used their bodies and pimp and basically would go to these bachelor parties for the quote-unquote, you know, G's, some OGs, you know. You know, because, hey, the club really started after, you know, people left. You have an after party, or you might have an after party at hotels or wherever. And then the woman, you know, was basically, she said that, you know, hey, you know, so it was a trip because some of the men at the church that they would go to on Sunday were some of the clients. Well, take that song. We're talking about perversion in the church, my friend. We're talking about fornication and adultery in the church. See, it's sad when we as the body of Christ, friends, are not going to hold the word of God as a standard. We're not going to stand up for what's right. We're not going to speak the truth in love. We're not going to call sin out. It's sad when we as the body of Christ are no different than the world. Romans 16:16-18 tells us this. Now I beseech you, brother, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to what? The doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly or appetite, sensual desires, lust. Whatever your lust is, your sensual appetite, whatever it is that you want, that's what you're serving it for. You're serving God that you don't serve the Lord. This is for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Are you simple? Are you one of those that just got a form of godliness, but you deny the power? Are you one of those that just put on your little Jesus hat and Jesus clothes and you go to church, but yet really has never impact your life and change your direction? I don't know, though. You know. Remember, this woman, Hosea, I mean, the husband was named Hosea, but the wife was named Gomer. She was a harlot. She was one being used for hire. Her body, she was being used as a vessel for dishonor. And again, she was making prosperity, which became a means of evil instead of the blessing. Don't think that just because you made a bunch of money using your body, ladies, or men, okay with God. I don't care. The top paid porn star, I think about Kim Kardashian. She sold her soul for $1 million and became what? This booty mogul or something? You know, you're walking around, you're basically displaying you have no talent. What talent are you offering? What are you really offering to society? Other than a pretty face and a make-believe, you know, a cosmetic-built body. You know, you was made in a lab. You're not really serving anything. You're not really edifying me at all. But I look at her, I say, okay, she's an attractive woman, but most of it's been bought and paid for. Because if you look at the beginning of this one, she put that little video out, body didn't look nothing like that. But her dad had a name, and guess what? That's what she played on. And mom really capitalized on it. Portal. Virgin. See, when you sell your soul to the devil gets the whole family involved, because this is what he, look, the more the merrier. He gives you a few trinkets, but how many other people are buying into this, you know, that the Kardashians got something really to offer? What are they really offering anybody? They're not edifying nobody. All we're doing is watching people live wretched lives. and glorify themselves and make themselves popular. They're making money off of what? Attention. That's not how God wants us to. We should be looking at the cross. We should be looking at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be trying to, we should be praying for her, to Kim, and the rest of that family to get saved. We need to be praying for them to change their direction, that God would raise them up. That would be a sight. That would be a miracle right there, to see them change their direction, get into a healthy Bible-teaching church, and start to learn what it means to be a godly woman and a godly family and a God-fearing woman. Well, she can go and teach these young girls, hey, man, I thought this was where it was at. I thought I could find satisfaction in the money and the fame and all that. If you're trying to get fame and attention from the world, then guess what? That's your God. But you're gonna realize one day that the fame gonna leave. You're gonna become old new, so you have to do something else to try to recreate yourself. See, but when you work for God. Working for God is way far better than working for the devil, the flesh, in this world. We see here in verse 12, Hosea 4:12, people idolize the thing, idolize other than God. In 4:15, we see church becomes hypocrisy. Remember, Israel was under theocracy during the time of Hosea, and, you know, there was no real commitment to the things of God. There was no real commitment to follow after God. Gomer was basically so far gone in her sin, and Hosea is basically a husband who's sitting there taking care of the kids, and his wife is out there prostituting herself all through Israel. She's just something that the devil is using for his own glory. Because remember, Satan always trying, he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his M.O., and he's not going to stop doing it until he gets as many souls as possible. Church becomes hypocrisy. How many people go to church and it's a ritual? I go because somebody told me to. I go because I like the music. I go because every other reason, but I really didn't go there to learn what I need to or to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Nor did I go there so I can change, so I can learn what I need to do, what areas I need to work on. Because I'm supposed to be working out my salvation with fear and trembling, yet I'm not really working on my salvation at all. I'm not really in the Word at all. You know, the Bible is something that, you know, hey, it sits in the back of my car window on a hot sunny day and gets a lot of cracks in the cover. And I pick it up maybe once every Sunday, maybe not. I might just leave it in there and just grab my tablet, you know, because I don't really need that big old heavy Bible. I can carry my tablet, my iPhone, you know. Because it's really not that big of a deal. Pastor, you know, Pastor, he kind of dry. He ain't really stimulating me. But I go there because this is where my fiance go, my boyfriend go, my sister go, my mother go. But I'm not really there to grow. You're not really there for the right reason. You're not going to be there for any reason worth your time anyway. Why waste your time? Do you think God wants you to come to a place of worship when you're really not even there to hear the word? You're really not there to grow at all. You're really just there for your own. Look, you're coming in there to peep in there and see what you can get. Kind of like a little kid on Christmas. They just want to know what's in the box. They don't want to know who the gift giver was. They don't even care. Point number three, the New Testament gives a course of the sinner in this downward spiral in Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 32, which we'll come to. Look at Romans 1:17. What did the people of Rome, the Christians there, these people who had a form of godliness, these people who claimed to be, you know, they denied the power, as Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of Christ to those that believe, first the Jew and then the Gentile. He says in Romans 1:17, refuse to live by faith, for it is unbelief. Unbelief, not any faith, but the faith that was given to the saints, the faith that is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, many people have a faith in themselves. They really have become their own god and their own idol. And we talked about that last time. How people will basically you know, it's not an issue in most society, in our society that we live in right now, friends. Not an issue of man doesn't have enough self-esteem, or he doesn't have enough, he's not sitting around this, he needs to just believe in himself more. No, the issue is he believes too much in himself. We're trusting in ourselves. The Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But guess what we do? We trust in ourselves with all our wretched heart. And we do lean on our own understanding, on our own understanding based on the flesh, though, not based on the spirit. The Bible commands us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Don't trust you. Don't trust your mother, father, sister, brother over God who created them and you. Look, we can put a minimum amount of faith in people. There's wives, children, you can put a minimum amount of faith in them, because if we know anything about the cross, friends, we know that we all are born in iniquity. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we can't trust us. We can't. That's just the bottom line. None of us can really fully trust humanity. It's great to want to believe in humanity, but you better believe in Jesus Christ and the Word of God, because that's going to stand forever. Human beings will let you down. Intentionally or unintentionally, you're going to let somebody down. And we need to understand that. We need to get that in our spirit. You're going to disappoint somebody. Intentionally or unintentionally, some people are going to be disappointed because you didn't do what they wanted you to do. But nonetheless, you're going to disappoint somebody. Well, guess what? God will never disappoint you. You can never accuse him of disappointing. You could be selfish. You could be self-centered, which we all are. If we're not walking with Jesus, we all are self-centered. We all prone to be self. Our nature is self. But when we came to Christ, friends, God gave us a new nature. And he wants us to be selfless. Selfless. That's what true agape love is. Selfless love. I'm not here for my own, what I can get from you. I'm here because God has given me so much. And I understand his grace. Understand his love for me. While I was dead in my sins and I deserved hell, Christ came and rescued me. And guess what? Now I want to give back to him. I want to give back to the body of Christ. I want to give back to whatever God has for me, I want it. It might not be what I think it should be, but it's what I need. And I'm more concerned about getting wisdom and understanding and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than some, you know, try to hit a lottery or something. You know, what good is that going to do if I'm going to hell? Look, I guarantee you, if we did a survey on the news and put it up on Twitter and Facebook and see how many people would sell out, hey, you wouldn't believe it. There'd be billions of people, I promise you. If you were told that you could have $1 billion for 24 hours or deny it and serve God and live for eternity, the numbers would be, they would be astronomical of how many people would take that $1 billion for a 24-hour period. I guarantee you folks would just, they would throw their Bibles out the window into the ocean trying to get $1 billion. So-called Christians. Because love of money, friends, has become the all kind. Remember in Romans 1:18 through 22, rejected God. These were the people who made their heart futile. They became futile in their minds, and they became darkened. See, when you don't want to follow the true and living God, you'll make up your own image of God, and your own image of God is reprobate. It goes against the nature of God. If you're not willing to surrender to Jesus Christ, making him Lord of your life, there was no other alternative than to turn over your life to the flesh until God just said, hey, and for this reason, God gave them up. Let's take a look at that, because I know some people would say, well, I don't really understand what does he mean by that. Well, let's see what God says, because he explains it. He explains it very clearly. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans 1. Hallelujah. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. I'm going to read out of two versions. The Message Bible for the clarity and the words that it gives you a real strong, it gives a strong attachment of what God is really saying in our natural. We might talk to somebody if we were trying to explain. So I'm going to give you, we're going to read out of the NASB, the New American Standard, New American Standard, out of the, bear with me here, Romans. All right, we back live on there. 646-668-8468. You can call in 646-668-8468. Pardon the interruption, but the kind of cell phone will drop a signal. But nonetheless, looking at this, Romans 1, here, go back here, Romans 1, we're going to look at verse 18. Let's go to verse 18 and look down. This says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Here we see, friends, that the wrath, what is wrath? Righteous indignation from God. It's God's judgment upon sinners or people who basically sin with no conscience, no reverence for God. They basically just say, "Hey, you know, God knows my heart. You know, we got all these cliches, but we don't have a relationship with God, nor do we have a real strong fear of the God that we say we love. We don't really truly surrender to Him, and therefore, because we don't surrender to Him, we are basically deceiving ourselves." Because He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men or mankind who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." To suppress it means to, you basically think about it, it's like putting truth in a vice grip and turning it, and you squeeze it. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to listen to this truth. I'm not going to submit to that. I'm not going to trust God. I could care less what God says. But yet you call yourself a believer, or you basically say, "Well, that's what the Bible said, but I don't believe it. I believe that was written by man." No. Let's be honest, friends. If man had wrote the Bible, do you really think he would have came against homosexuality? Do you think he would have came against bestiality? Do you think he would have came against pedophilia, incest, sexual immorality? All those things would have been a go. It'd been good to go. Do you really think man would have not wanted to have that fun? They would have wanted everything that God said we can't have, there would have been no problem. No problem. There's an argument right now in the quote-unquote church, which really is not an argument. All it is that God just, He's separating the wheat from the chaff, goats from the sheep. He's separating lies from truth, friends. And it's the biggest lie right now going on is that immorality, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, incest, bisexuality, bestiality, whatever reality you want to know, which is not reality, whatever sin you want to do in your flesh is okay with God, and you can't speak on it no more. Well, that's a lie, friend. I remind you of Romans 12. He says, "I beseech you, brothers, we need to call out sin. We need to call it out, not because we're self-righteous, but because we don't want our brothers or sisters to go to hell. If all roads are okay, if everything is okay, then why does the Bible use the corrective? All we need to do is just believe and just throw it away. There's no need to talk about it. If every sin is okay, if all the lifestyle that we live in that's perverted is okay, then what are we doing? If grace is going to cover our sin and just let us do whatever we want to do, then why did God destroy all these cities, all these kingdoms, the Babylonians, the Syrians, the Persians, the Medes? Why did He destroy them? In the same immorality? Were they not in direct violation of God's standard of holiness? Even though they weren't Christians, but Israel was following after them. These people were in violation of God's word, and Israel would take upon their characteristics. And God would have to spank them and even put them in captivity to get them to turn from their sinful ways. Notice what Paul says here again. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident. It means it's laid out there, friends. If you're going to be a lawyer, you look for evidence. This is evident. Evident behavior of somebody that's not really who they say they are. With them, he says, it's evident with them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been what? Clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Do you realize, friends, when we stand before God, each and every one of us is going to stand before the, those of us who are true believers are going to stand before the judgment seat. We're going to be judged for what we did with the word of God, our relationship with God, how we took the gospel to the world, all of those things. We're going to be judged not as sinners, but we're going to be judged at what did we do after the cross, after we made the profession, and were we really, you're going to be judged based on what you did as far as your good works for the kingdom of God. You're not saved by your works, but you're going to be judged on the merit of your works, your righteousness. What did you do with the cross? How did you treat people? How did you treat your brothers and sisters? Every idle word that we said, we're going to be judged on. If you repented of it, no problem. But you're going to be judged based on what we did in the body of Christ, in Christ. The unbeliever will stand before the great white throne of judgment. That he or she will be judged because they rejected the love of the truth that they might be saved. They rejected what God said. God says don't live like this, and they said, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do because, you know, Pastor so-and-so said I could live like that. Pastor so-and-so condoned it. Pastor so-and-so allowed it in his church. But Pastor so-and-so and you will burn in the lake of fire. But this is what he says further. He says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood. He says, being understood, you know what you're doing, through what has been made so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became what? Futile. Futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. God says your foolish heart was darkened. That's not good. And he says, professing to be wise. You want to talk to some of these intellects, some of these Gnostics, some of these philosophers, some of these people who claim to be, they got these PhDs, but they're fools. Be wise. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. In other words, they worship the creation over the creator. This is nothing but Darwinism. This is nothing but Unitarianism. This is nothing but, hey, we came from animals. We came out of something, out of nothing, some ooze, and then the ooze became a fish, and the fish became a monkey, and the monkey became an ape, and next thing you know, here go I. Really? My God, help us. These are the ones that profess to be wise, but they're morons. The word fool here is the word where we get the word morona. Moron. It's a moron. You can't trust a moron. They have nothing to offer you but more foolishness. You know, you remember when we was younger, our grandparents, some of us was 40 and over, we remember, cut that foolishness out. What? Go sit down and cut that foolishness out. Most folks should tell you that. Cut that foolishness out. Nowadays, we say, come on, bring more foolishness to me. Let me hear your foolishness. I want to entertain your foolishness. That's what we do now. Foolishness is acceptable. He says, but they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. I had another direction I was going with this whole message, but you know what? Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I like to listen to God and not myself. But, hey, let's look at it from the Message Bible now. Let's look at this from the Message Bible. In verse 18, starting on, he says, "But God's angry displeasure erupts as acts of human mistrust and wrongdoing and lying accumulate as people try to put a shroud over truth. But the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God had created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being. So nobody has a good excuse. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat him like God, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their eyes. They pretended to know it all, illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand." Wow. In other words, God became their idol. It was just an idol that they bought on the roadside. Nothing new from Israel, because Israel was known for when they would turn away from God and start to carve out their own little God. Satan would come along with a trick or treat, and basically, next thing you know, they start to think wrong. Well, God is not. We know the God that delivered us out of Egypt. We know the God that delivered us out of the hand of the Canaanites. We know the God that delivered us from the hand of these Philistines. We know. We've seen them. We know about David and all that. And we go right back into idolatry. Go right back into idolatry. Nothing has changed, friends. See what he says? He says they pretend to know it all. I was reading from the Message Bible here. They pretend, from verses 18 to 23, they basically, they pretend to know it all, but they're illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand. My. Let's go back. I want us to read verses 24 and 25 in Romans. Verses 24 and 25 of Romans 1. Go back to the NASB, and we'll come back to the Message again. New American Standard version of that. See, it's good to look at different translations because they give you a different punch of it. You know, I wouldn't use a Message Bible necessarily to teach a whole class without using another translation, but I think it's important for us to get the thrust of what he's saying here in plain lingo. I guess you could say common folks lingo. But we need to understand that God's word doesn't come back void. Notice what he says here in verse 24 through 25. "Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity." Now, I don't know why churches won't teach this in the sense of, especially in African-American churches, I don't know why a lot of pastors are dodging this, they don't want to deal with it, but friends, homosexuality, any perversion, any sexual immorality is not of God. It's not of God, but he specifically says this is a judgment that he places on there. We have to get it in our spirit that God is the one who turns those over to that abominable behavior. God is using that as a judgment. In other words, he said, you want your sin? You love your sin? You're okay with your sin? And I've already warned you. I've already told you that this is not of me. Because we saw back here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." So in other words, God already told them that it was wrong, but they suppressed the truth. Down here in verse 24 and 25, "Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them." Let's stop with the devil always made me do something. Let's stop with the devil is the one that's making people gay. The devil's not doing them but dangling carrots. The devil does exactly what the devil is allowed to do, and he's allowed to do nothing without God's permission. But God will give you over when you basically have suppressed the truth. That could be in sexual immorality of any kind, bestiality, You got people out here that's practicing for 100%. They are engaged with sexual animals. You got people that's 100% perverted. They're engaged with little children, having sex with children who have no authority or ability to say no. They're being molested, being taken advantage of because they what? They gave themselves over to it. God gave themselves up to it because they have decided in their own minds and hearts that they're not going to surrender to what God's word says, and they have basically justified their behavior by way of, oh, this is my child, or this is my niece, or this is my nephew, or this is my dog, or this is my horse, or this is my pony, whatever it is. Because we got to get on God's team. We need to get in God's mindset when it comes to putting, what does he say? He tells us to put on the mind of Christ. We need to put on the mind of Christ so we know exactly what God is doing when he's doing it. When he tells us he's going to give them up, that's his authority over sin. He's basically saying, if you don't want to follow my plan of redemption, if you're not going to surrender to my righteousness, if you're not going to glorify me in truth, then guess what? I have no choice but to just say, I give you up. And he'll turn you over to Satan. He'll turn you over to Satan. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, he who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Do you realize God doesn't desire that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. God does not want any one of us to die and go to hell. Hell wasn't created for us. But he will give you over to your lust. You want to be a porn star? He'll give you over to it. To the point where, hey, he'll let Satan destroy you. He'll let Satan destroy you. It comes with, there's warnings, though. There's always warnings. God always warns us. Notice, let's go back. I want to read 24 and 25 from the Message Bible. I had a whole different direction where I was going with this, but guess what? Thank you, Lord, because I don't like being in charge. I like coming here and saying, you know what, Lord, whatever you have me speak on, whatever direction you want to take this, I'm just going to be a servant. I'm a surrender. Notice what he said. And the calling number is 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. If you want to call in, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe you. If you want to call in and you have a comment or prayer, maybe you're struggling with this, you don't have to give me a name or nothing. If you just want to call in, you want prayer, you need to be delivered. If you're dealing with this very topic that we're talking about, this is an opportunity for us to be accountable and be real and be set free. Whom the Son loves, he sets free. And you can be free indeed. So it's not about shaming anybody. It's not about tearing down anybody. This is about love. This is about deliverance. So, again, 646-668-8468. You can call in. We'll finish this chapter up, and then we'll pause. We'll break off. If you want to call in, go ahead and call in now. You don't have to hit the one yet. But if you want to, if you have a comment, if you just have an insight on this, if you want to share something about maybe a past experience, I don't need to know your name. That's okay. But if you like to call in and give your name, that's okay too. But I want to help somebody. Lord wants to speak to somebody. He's speaking to somebody right now. So it's important to, you know, I just be obedient to the Spirit and say, you know, hey, if you want to share something that you went through and how God delivered you out of it, and maybe you was entangled into a gay experience, a lesbian experience, whatever it was, and God delivered you, he rescued you from that, and you realized that your body was not made for this. Notice what he says in the Message Bible from verse 24 to 25. He tells us, so God said, in effect, if that's what you want, that's what you get. It wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen smeared with the filth and filthy inside and out. And all this because they traded the true God for a fake God and worshiped the God they made instead of the God who made them. Oh, is that not strong language? Let me read that again, because that's some good stuff here. He says, so God said, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, in effect, if that's what you want, in other words, if you want that lifestyle, that's what you get. It wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen, smeared with the filth, or smeared with filth, filthy inside and out, and all this because they traded the true and living God for a fake God, little g, and worshiped the God they made, the God they made instead of the God who made them, the God we bless, the God who blesses us. Oh, yes. My. Do you see this? Do you see this? This is some stuff right here. This is what people do when they justify their own sinful blood. I was looking at a very well-known a worship leader who made some great Christian songs, but I'm listening to him in an interview on the Breakfast Club and on YouTube, and I'm so disturbed how he's defending sin. And you claiming to be a man of God, but you're defending sin in the house of God. You're defending it, and it's like, this ain't about picking on homosexuals. It's not picking on any particular group. It's picking on sin. And if we're practicing it, if we're living in it, if we're swimming in it, backstroke, moonwalk, electric slide in it, stepping in it, then, friends, we need to call it out. And we need to get it out. Get it out of the church. Get it out of our lives. Because all we're doing is bringing wrath against wrath upon ourselves, and we're hindering the body of Christ for being what it is. And it's sad because as an African-American who spent time in African-American churches, it's sad when we seem to, who always said we believed Jesus and believed the word of God, yet we seem to be the most ignorant when it comes to truth and living out what we say we are. Friends, the Egyptians back in Pharaoh's time, they practiced sexual immorality. Why? Why did they practice immorality, homosexuality, bisexuality, bestiality? Why? Because they had over 400 gods. That's why. And every one of them gods had another god. So those gods allowed you to do whatever you wanted to do with your body. Matter of fact, sleeping with other people, same-sex people, was worshiping. It was a form of worship. We need to get this out of our, we need to get this lie out of the church that God is okay with the homosexual man. He wants the homosexual, the bisexual, the trisexual, the bestiality, fornicators, and adulterers to live out their Christian faith as soldiers for Christ. Otherwise, you're a liar. Because you're living a lie. And all liars will have their place that burn in the lake of fire. All liars. So don't tell me that, oh, God made me this way. No. We were born in iniquity and shaped in sin. Or born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But guess what? When God came, when he sent his only begotten son down here, that he would die in our place, friends. He died for our disgrace, and he lifted us and delivered us. All those who would trust in him. 50 years ago, we didn't buy into this lie that we can just live La Vida Loco in our flesh and our mess. If the world is doing the same thing we're doing, then why should they come to Christ? They don't need to change. We're not changed. I promise you, friends, I promise you, I just know this in my spirit. You give it another five to 10 years in America, hey, we're going to open up the floodgates for incest. That's going to be a normal. It's going to be okay, because it'll be somebody that stands up and says, it's okay for me to marry my daughter. It's okay for me to sleep with my niece. It's okay for me to sleep with my mother. They're already doing it in other countries. There's already, over in Europe, there's already been cases of two men that got married, and they were both brothers, twin brothers at that. So where does it stop at? If that's okay too, what's going to happen when the woman says, I want to marry my dog and my horse? What's going to happen? You know, in Canada, they just removed their bestiality law last year, 2016. The court said, hey, we're taking bestiality off the table. No more. It's no longer a violation. It's no longer anything wrong with that. See, where do we stop? Where do we stop the madness? Where do we stop the madness? Well, I tell you where the madness stops. It stops at the cross, man. It stops at Jesus Christ. When we get saved, when we give ourselves away to Jesus, for him to, and when we truly surrender, we can get out of this deception, this becoming futile in our mind. Who wants to look up that word? Let me go back a little. Let's look up that word. Strong word, very powerful word, and I think just we need to look at it. Let's look at it. Hallelujah. The word futile means incapable of producing any useful result. Incapable of producing any useful result. Pointless. Pointless. Look at it. Now that was from just a regular dictionary. I'm gonna look at it from God's perspective. To a Bible dictionary. This word futile. Human life and human systems are ultimately useless without God. Because death comes to all, God wants to deliver people from their futile ways. You can see it. You can look at some of these scriptures. Human life is futile. The brevity of life. Psalms 89:47, Job 7:6-7, Job 14:1-2, Psalm 39:4-5, Ecclesiastes 6:12, Isaiah 40:6-7, and James 4:14. Death is the destiny of all. Job 9:22, Ecclesiastes 3:19-20, and Ecclesiastes 9:2. The dead are forgotten. Psalm 103:15-16, Ecclesiastes 1:11, Ecclesiastes 2:16, and Ecclesiastes 9:5. Human endeavor is futile. Ecclesiastes 1:14. The writer speaks of human life without reference to God. Psalms 39:6, Psalm 127:2, Ecclesiastes 2:10-23, and Habakkuk 2:13 and James 1:11. Human thoughts are futile. Psalm 94:11, 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. Let me look at that. Ecclesiastes 1 Corinthians 3:19-20 says, don't fool yourself. Don't think that you can be wise merely by being up to date with the times. This is from the Message. Be God's fool, that the path to true wisdom, but the world says, be God's fool. That's the path to true wisdom. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid, is written in Scripture. He exposes the chicanery of the sheep. The master sees through the smokescreen of the know-it-all. You can read that in the New American Standard. 1 Corinthians 3:19-20. Go back here to New American Standard. So we're going to go back to Romans and finish this up. New American Standard, hallelujah. Let's go back here to Romans. Wrap this up. Romans 1, looking at verses 26, 27, and we'll look at 26, 27, and 28. He says, for this reason God gave them over to a degrading passion, for their women exchanged the natural function, that which is unnatural, and in the same way also the men abandoned their natural function of the woman, and burning their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person due penalty to their error. There's no scaving around this passage. Many so-called Bible teachers just want to just remove Romans 1 because we don't want to deal with it, because we don't like the New Age American Babylon. We don't want to offend the New American Babylon. We don't want to offend the masses. But guess what, friends? First Corinthians 1 says the gospel is an offense to those who are perishing. Let's get that right. The gospel is an offense to those that's perishing. So if you don't want to be offended, if you receive the gospel and walk in it, then you won't be offended. It's not going to offend no believer. A true believer don't get offended by the gospel. Make believers get offended by the gospel. Notice this. He says, God gave them over to degrading passion. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passion. I really believe this is not just for the homosexual. This is for anybody that uses their body as an instrument of wretchedness and debauchery and lasciviousness, sexual impurity, sexual immorality of any kind. I don't care what it is. If you're violating yourself sexually, if you're disrespecting yourself sexually, or disrespecting the natural order of sex between one man and one woman in the confines of marriage, this is a triangle, friends, with God at the top and both people going up the same direction. In other words, I'm responsible for my role, you're responsible for your role as a wife, and we both going headed towards glory because we Jesus at the top of that pyramid. And this is where the problem is. Man wants to be in charge. Again, he wants to be God. If I don't want a God that's going to tell me how to live my life, then basically, I, in my mind, just basically get rid of that God and start creating my own God. And if I create my own God, my God, I'm going to make him my image, and my image is I can live any way I want to. I can have whatever relationships I want to. But now, you know, it's not just the homosexual. There's pansexual. There's all these different ideologies. You know, as a man, a woman, you're not identifying with nothing. Now we got a debate on kids. You know, girls want to play on the boys' basketball team, and boys want to play on the girls' basketball team. And, you know, all this is just not, why are we trying to be, I want a woman to be a woman. You're made that way. You're made in the image of God. You were made for a purpose, not to be a man, not to be a boy. You're made to be a woman. I want you to act like a woman, not act like a man. And men should be acting like men. Men should be acting like men, masculine. They should be acting like men, not talking like women. Notice it. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for that women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way, also the men abandon their natural function of the women and burn in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. God judges them. Stop letting folks tell you this foolishness, or stop being afraid and bowing down to the world and the world system. This is nothing but denying the nature of God. When you and I decide that we're not going to stand for truth, we're basically surrendering to the lie. And if we surrender to the lie, then we basically are ashamed of him, because we want to be liked. Because I don't care if you like me. Care that God loves me. I want to make sure everything I share, everything I teach is of God. It pleases God. That's the only person I'm concerned about. I'm never going to be popular. Not if it comes to selling out. I'm not selling you a soft. I'm not giving you a soft serve ice cream here. You're going to get some M&Ms with peanuts. You're going to get some. You got to chew on this for a while. You got to digest it. Verse 28, he says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Wow. And we have seen this in three situations where God is basically giving them up. Three times God gave them up. Can you try to sweep that, or maybe you're going to get that cut and paste Bible and start writing over, I don't like what he says here, so I'm just going to, or you just go find a church that basically never teaches on it because they don't care. So we just keep on catering to people and trying to make people feel good in sin. Sorry, I'm not going to do it. I don't hate anybody.
I just hate sin. I hate sin in my own life. Whatever sin it is, I don't want no sin taking me captive. I don't want it taking anybody else down. If I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. If that's not what God made you to be, and you need to come out of that. And the way you come out of it is deny the lie and surrender to the truth. Jesus Christ is true. His word is true. Whom the Son sets free is truly, surely free indeed. And if you're free, then you don't have to worry about a lie. 646-668-8468. Give me another 20 minutes, and we're going to wrap this up. And I want you to call in if you have a question, a prayer request, or whatever it may be. So go ahead and get on the line now so that way I'll know you're there. 646-668-8468. He says again, verse 28, he says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. In other words, God had enough of their foolishness. He had enough of their denying him and worshiping animals and basically creating a God in their own image according to their flesh. God said, okay, I've had enough. And he just turned them over to it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, in other words, nobody is going to stand before God and say, I didn't know. God says you do. God said we do. God said we know right from wrong. We know good from evil. It's imputed in our DNA. It's imputed into when we was created in glory, when each and every one of us was created, before we was placed as a seed in our mother's womb, each and every one of us knew right from wrong. We know right from wrong. Notice what he says here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, that's the judgment. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. I tell you, friends, I was talking to a sister yesterday. I asked a simple question about how you gonna be an atheist, and boy, she got hot. She got hot. This is what happens when you stand on the word of God. You can't even talk to folks no more. You can't even talk. See, when you want to sit and dialogue with people, they get offended because you just ask questions. Because I'm sitting there saying, well, hey, if you got the truth, let me know. Let me in on it. Why are you hiding it from me? Why am I wasting my time if you got the truth? I'm just looking at this very first little verse here. And just as they did not see fit. That's a statement of to acknowledge God any longer. Wasn't that they didn't really believe there was a God. They basically said, I don't want God anymore. I don't want the God who created me. I don't want to follow that God because that God doesn't meet my criteria. I want a God that allows me to be me. However, I want to be me. And see, the flesh is already at war with it's at war with God. It's at war with everything that's right. It's at war with what's true. We're at war with the world. The world doesn't care nothing about Christians. It doesn't want anything to do with Christ. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Judgment. Next time somebody tries to tell you, well, the homosexual community, no, they're born this way. Yeah, we all born in sin. But guess what? You get to this point, this level here, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, when you say God made you a certain way, when you was born with a certain DNA and you just change that or you decide you just don't want to be that no more, and you say God made a mistake, you lied on God. That's not nothing light. Nothing that you can take light, lightly. And then if God allowed you to change yourself, it didn't mean that he wanted you to change yourself. Verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those practicing. In other words, they know it's wrong, they know it's sinful, in their heart of hearts, and when they're alone and their conscience is ringing, it's ringing, it's screaming, that I need to turn, I need to change, I need to walk away from this. Yet they don't do it. They just reject it. They suppress the truth even more. And instead of warning others, they do the same thing. They instead of warning others, they basically say, they give approval. Because then they're too prideful to say, hey, you need to turn from this sin. They're too prideful to do that. They're too prideful. See, anytime we let pride get in the way, friends, anytime you and I allow pride to get in the way, we headed downhill. We headed downhill without a doubt. I had to turn my phone that way, friends, because I had to, my phone was about to go dead. About to go dead. Let's see if we got any phone calls here. 646-668-8468. We're going to close it off right there. We'll have to come back. Oof. Off. 646-668-8468. Anybody want to call in right quick? Got a comment, question, if you have something to share, please call, give me a call. But let's pray. But before we do that, though, said I was going to do it. I want to make sure I go to my work. Let's go back here and look at the ASB real quick. Look at these three verses in closing. Three verses in the Message Bible, verses 27, 26-28. He tells us here, worse followed. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another, women with women, men with men, all lust, no love. And then they paid for it, or oh, how they paid for it, emptied of God and love, godless and loveless wretched. Verse 28-32 says, since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And then all hell broke loose, rapid, evil, grabbing, grasping, vicious, backstabbing. They made life hell on earth with their envy, wanton killing, bickering, and cheating. Look at them, mean spirit, venomous, forked tongue, God-bashers, bully, swagger, insufferable, winnabag. They keep inventing new ways of wrecking lives. They ditch their parents when they get in the way. Stupid, slimy, cruel, cold-blooded. And it's not as if they don't know better. They know perfectly well they're spitting in God's face, and they don't care. Worse, they hand out prizes to those who do the worst things best. Jesus. I'm going to let that marinate. We'll come back tomorrow, Lord willing, but I'm going to let that marinate. Either tomorrow or Saturday, we'll be back. But I'm going to let that marinate. You know why? Because this is just the world that we live in. This is the society we live in, man. It's become out of control. It's perverted. It's very perverted. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, again, you're so amazing. So holy, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that I don't have the wisdom to do this. It's nothing but your truth, the Holy Spirit, that speaks through me, Lord. I give you all the glory and all the credit, Lord God, that every time that I come here, Lord, I come here with nothing to say, but your word speaks loud and clear. You speak, and we have to listen. I pray, Lord God, if it's just one soul, Lord, that's in bondage to any kind of sexual immorality or perversion or any one soul, Lord, that may be struggling, Lord, they're caught in a web of deceit, Lord, that this would be the last day. This would be the day that you set them free, Lord, that this message would speak boldly and loudly to their heart, that they may know the truth in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, it's a matter of us just giving ourselves away, no longer allowing the enemy to do so. We ask, Lord, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would just let this message go from YouTube to places all over the world, Lord. They may touch souls. They may rescue sinners. Hallelujah. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Real quick before we go, 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. Please, if you'd like to call in right now, if you have any comments or questions, this is the time you can call in. I'll hold around for a couple minutes, because if you're not, you don't have anything to share, that's okay. But I pray that, friends, that we need to realize that the world is not going to get any better. And don't expect people to get any better. You might say, well, I believe in humanity, yeah? Okay. If they come to saving faith, yeah. But remember, Matthew 7, we're told that the road, the narrow road, only few find it. That's the road that leads to eternity with Jesus Christ. But the broad road, that's the road that the masses are on. That's the road that Romans 1:18-32 talks about. That's the road that everybody is trying to pursue, including quote-unquote professing Christians and church folk who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, side by side with Romans chapter 1, verses 18-32, you'll see that the commonality, and that's why God says what he said. He's speaking to the church. This is all happening around the church. But God's true believer, man and woman, who is truly committed to Jesus Christ, will not perish. They will come out. There's some people right now that's in bondage right now. I believe that. There's some people that might be reprobate for a season, and God wakes them up, and they come out of that mess, and they get right, and they get real. There's going to be some people that they're just never gonna come out. They're gonna die in this.
You can go on YouTube and look at the videos of women women and men who have been in bondage for maybe 20 or 30 years into sexual perversion and homosexuality, bisexuality, and they now giving their testimony of how God delivered them. How God, because they all have one of the common threads is that it was some type of abuse. Not only that, they were looking for love, and they always seemed to found the wrong men. Women usually found the wrong men, and men found the wrong women, or they were abused. Satan always makes you think that the lie is better than the truth. You got women walking away from relationships because, well, I was abused by my husband, and women treat me better, and then you find out that some of the women are just as abusive as men, especially those that's been abused by other women or other men. So they take that spirit right into the next relationship. And friends, again, what Romans says here, you can't deny it. This is for sinners. It has nothing to do with one putting one person or one group of people or talking down on. Look, this was sinners. Verse 28-32, since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, reading from the Message Bible, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. In other words, he said, have at your sin. Since you don't want to run to me, I'll just let you run. You won't get very far. And then all hell broke loose. Rapid evil, grabbing and grasping, vicious. They made life hell on earth with their envy, wanton killing, bickering and cheating. Look at them. Mean spirit, venomous, fort tongue. You ever see so much of a fort tongue society in the body of Christ? They bless you and curse you out the same mouth. Whoa. Didn't James warn us against that? He said, can sweet water and salt water come out the same faucet? And the answer is no. My. 646-668-8468. You got a comment, a question? You need a prayer request? If you need deliverance, if you're going through some kind of sexual perversion, some kind of sexual stronghold, I've been there, not above it. Picked up prostitutes for for years, friend. I was a slave to my sexual perversion. Porn. Thought I had to have sex to survive. It was a lie. A lie from the pit of hell. Thank God that he delivered me. So I'm not here to bash anybody or tear down nobody. I'm here to lift you up and call on you and to say, hey, Jesus Christ is the answer. He was the answer 2,000 years ago. He's the answer today. And he's the answer to get to eternity. If you want a personal relationship with him, the door is open right now. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark is going by. But don't let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you out. Fred Hammond got a good song called Please Don't Pass Me By. Don't let Jesus pass you by. He's calling you right now. He's calling you to the cross. He's calling you to the altar to make yourself, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Say, Lord, I just surrender. I give up. When you're serious, you'll be delivered. You call upon him with a pure and sincere heart. A contrite heart, a heart that's grieved because of sin, you could be set free. Today can be the beginning of a new life. By trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, friends, I see we're coming to the, nobody's going to call in, 646-668-8468. Nobody's going to call in this time. That's okay. Maybe one day we'll get some phone calls. But I want you guys to know, friends, I love you. No human being has told you that in a long time. I want you to know that I love each and every one of you that comes here and supports me and lifts me up and prays for me. I love you. But most of all, Jesus Christ loves you. He really loves you. And his love for you is about unconditional love, selfless love, sacrificial love. And he wants you to know how to love others, including him. He wants you to know him and know power of his resurrection. He wants you to have a life-changing metamorphosis take place in your life where you know that you know that you know that your life has been radically changed because of the power of Jesus Christ and the blood that washed your sins away and made you a new creation. It starts with you confessing your sins and receiving the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus Christ, and repenting of your sin, which means you turn away from that which has got you in a stronghold. Turn away. Walk away. Let it go. You ever see that little commercial they have, Let Go, where people holding on over cliffs and everything? God wants you to let go of that sin right there. Let it go. No longer will you let sin hold you over the edge of the cliff. No longer will you hold on to sexual immorality or smoking dope or drink, getting drunk, and whatever it is that's got you in bondage, whatever that's got you entangled, you could be free right now in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, friends. Hey, we're going to go ahead and close it off right now. I just want to thank those that are here. I see you there, Sister Kelly. Blessings to you. Mary, you're still there. Mary Ann, all you that come here and support me, God bless you. And look for this video to be posted up. Lord willing, tomorrow I'll have this video posted up on YouTube. So we're trying to get all the videos posted up quick. And so we can just be able to encourage. And please, when you get it, when you see it, share it on your page. If you don't mind, share this message on your page. Put it on your Facebook page. Put it in, go to my website, on the Prodigal Church Hour at Minister Big Ken 65, Minister BIGKEN number 65, and check us out there. Over 680 plus sermons there, messages, and may you be blessed and encouraged there. And if you're being blessed there, take some of those messages, email them out to your family and friends, and use that to be able to help somebody that might be struggling with some particular thing. I like to talk about me. But I don't want nobody to think I'm picking on them. I always put my stuff out there, and it might be able to help somebody get a closer relationship and realize that if God can save me, a wretch like me, he can save you too. Amen? I'm not above anybody, no, not holier than anybody, no more righteous than anybody, better than what I used to be. I'm Daryl Kendrick, living for the Lord, and that's all I can do. That's all I can do, and I'm trying to carry as many or direct or help guide as many souls as I can to the kingdom, to the kingdom. I can encourage you in the truth, but I'm not going to back down from the truth. I'm going to encourage you with the truth, but I won't back down from the truth. Truth is truth. 2 + 2 = 4 in every country you go to, all over the world. So I got to speak the truth. So if God says it, I got to speak it, and because I don't fight with him. Amen. Hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Follow me on Gmail at dkendricksr@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter, dkendricksr65 on Twitter. You can go to my podcast at MinisterBigKen65, 24/7 access there. You can also follow me at MinisterBigKen on TalkShoe Radio. MinisterBigKen at TalkShoe Radio. We're building that up slowly but surely. Sometimes we have a lot of problems when we try to log on there, but we're building that up slowly but surely on TalkShoe Radio. And we're excited about what God is doing for us. I'm excited. Hey, 2017 is time for the King. And remember my exhortation that I've been giving out this month and last month. Hey, the 30-30-30-30 challenge. Spending 30 minutes in God's Word every day, 30 minutes in meditation, 30 minutes in prayer for 30 days. Make that a habit for you. Make that a lifestyle. The 30-30-30-30 challenge. 30-30-30-30 challenge. Hey, tonight, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you're looking for a Bible teaching church, please come join us at 7:30 p.m. tonight at Core Church of Los Angeles, www.corechurchla.org, located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. 7:30 tonight, Core Church. Sundays, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 at Core Church. Same website, same address. Hey, let me get up out of here, friend. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, blessings to you all. In Jesus' name, God bless. Thank you. Yeah, the one I just did on fornication, adultery, and nothing for. I tried to do it myself, man. I couldn't. Not with this one, but I tried to do it after we got off the phone early. I tried to do it. I was trying to figure out how to get my. Like, I can copy the link and send it and put it on your page, on your email, but how do I copy it? On Facebook Live? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold on. Do I go over to my little pictures volume button? Well, don't I have to first go into my, like, into, like, on my face page, the little circle on the right, all the way over to the... Okay, click on the video to play it. Right. Is this like right next to, like, you got pause and then you got the low volume, little all over to the right. It says settings. Square is a complete square, and then it's a square, like, it's got little sections. Okay, wait a minute. Let me back up here. So don't I have to go into the settings of... on my cell phone? I don't think my phone's Okay, I'll try that. All right, but go ahead and upload that one for me real quick.